You are listening to CPA Review, and more you are listening to CPA Review, and more you are listening to CPA Review, and more you are listening to CPA Review, and more. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever you're joining from. And thank you for listening to this episode of CPA Review and More with your host, Phil Yeager. I'm your producer and director here at the Yeager Studios, Rob Medford. And together, we are bringing you the number one podcast for CPAs and CPA candidates. If you're new to the show, I'd like to be the first to thank you for checking us out. We're excited to have you as part of our listenership. If you're here because you've already heard our show and you're a continued listener, we thank you for the ongoing support. It's always greatly appreciated. If you're in the market for a CPA review course or simply want to know more about what Yeager CPA Review has to offer, check out our website at YeagerCPAReview.com or call our office and we'll answer any questions you might have. The link and telephone number will be in the description of this episode. Here at Team Yeager, we're excited to tell you about our new Yeager CPA Review subscription format. It's the same great Yeager CPA Review course that you know and love on an all-new month-to-month, no long-term commitment subscription format. But without any further delay, I'm going to pass the microphone on over to your host, Phil Yeager.
Well, thank you, Rob. Appreciate that.
Thanks
yeah.
for having me.
Yeah, well, hey, Jody, you know, you're a star. Jody just told me, I mean, now, I hope you're all sitting down. All right, she has close to 700,000 followers on LinkedIn. All right, that's the entire United States. It's amazing, Jody, how many people you have. Anyway, Jody is actually an expert. Can I call you an expert? She's an expert in artificial intelligence. And also, she is the accounting ambassador and bot advisor, all right? And we'll talk about what a bot is, because I learned last time. And I'll tell you a story about this guy who came all the way from Philadelphia to visit you. Remember that story?
Yes.
Yes, yes. And when I said to Jody, I said, why'd this guy come all the way from Philadelphia to Chicago to see you? And she said, he came to see my bots. And I said, we can't go any further with that. Okay. So anyway, and by the way, was he happy to see your butts?
He was.
Oh, good, good. All right. That makes me laugh every time. Anyway, she's also known as the Radical CPA. Why are you called the Radical? Oh, we discussed that last time, but yeah. Why are you the Radical CPA?
Because my business model is completely different than every other CPA out there, right? So we don't bill time. We don't track time. We price on value. We use artificial intelligence. We're just like next gen. And most old school firms don't know how to deal with me. So I'm quite radical.
Because most firms, they do bill per hour. Is that correct? Or do they bill on value?
No. Well, it depends. Most firms at least track hourly. I would say 50% of the work they bill by time, 50% they bill by value, but it inhibits them from adopting newer technologies and from changing their workflow, because if you bill by time, why do you want to get more efficient, right? Because then you lose money. So it's a contradiction. So that's why most CPA firms aren't innovative, because there's no incentive for them to make things faster, better, or cheaper, because if they're still going to be charging by inputs, it doesn't matter.
Well, I remember when I did my accounting practice years and years ago, I billed per hour, right? Uh-huh. And I found that, you know, I started doing tax returns in like a half hour. And, you know, I said, well, gee, I guess I can only bill a half hour. I was young and stupid. So anyway, later on, I said, well, wait a minute. I want to bill by value, because, you know, just because it takes me a half hour, it's only because I have all the experience and the knowledge. All right. So I started building by value. But the problem is I could not necessarily determine what my value was worth. All right. Because unlike attorneys all charge about the same thing per hour. I find that. All right. And I always wondered, why don't CPAs get together and say, hey, all right, we're going to bill for a tax return, a minimum of $500. All right. But we don't have that. But yet lawyers, they know, everyone knows what everyone else is billing. So, you know, they bill not by per hour, because if they did, they would be broke, wouldn't they? All right. Jody, first of all, for those who don't know what artificial intelligence is, all right, can you tell us what it is and give us examples of how it's used today?
Sure. So artificial intelligence is really fancy math that then goes into a computer, and the computer learns something and it gets smarter. And when I say that, meaning it's doing a repetitive task, but every time it does it, you train it and it gets a little bit smarter every time. A lot of people think artificial intelligence is new. It's been around since like 1950. It's just really the algorithm that the line of code in the computer is. It's just now, in our day and age that the machines and the computing power has gotten fast enough to get smarter than it used to be, right? When we think about a perfect example of artificial intelligence is, do you watch Netflix?
Yes, of course.
Okay. So do you know how like it recommends a movie for you to watch?
Yes.
So that's artificial intelligence, right? It looks at what you've watched in the past. It connects it to all the other movies and it pops it up to the top and it says, hey, Phil, don't you want to watch this because you like this show? So that's artificial intelligence, right? So it's actually been around for a while and we see it in everyday things, but I think a lot of people don't realize like what it is or that it's really kind of already here. It's not, it's not really this new thing. It's just becoming more prevalent in the business world.
Can you give us examples of artificial intelligence that's being used today?
Well, currently in our firm, it's doing all our bookkeeping.
And what is it doing as far as the bookkeeping?
So it's doing all the categorizations and transactions in our QuickBooks Online files. So the bots basically log in to our computer. It pulls all the data, connects it all, sees as if it makes sense. And it says, okay, this expense looks like it should go into meals and entertainment, and it puts it in meals and entertainment. And if it doesn't know, it doesn't know, and it pops it out as an exception, and it says, hey, human, you look at this. And so then we look at it, and we decide where it goes. And then the next time that category comes around, it knows it. So you're training it just like you would train a bookkeeper in the cube next to you to learn how to do it, and it gets smarter and smarter and smarter. And what happens is as the data sets get bigger, the computer gets smarter. So in the beginning, it needs a lot of help, but as it evolves, it needs less help because it just knows.
How is it set up to know this? I mean, is it programmed? I mean, how does it know to do these things?
Yeah, it's just software. I mean, people make it sound like it's this big thing. At the end of the day, you're buying a software program.
Yeah, you think you have that, what was that, 2001, A Space Odyssey, a HAL, remember that?
Right.
He was he could, count, multiply, tremendous. And he became actually a person, all right? Have you found any of your bots that become people?
So, actually, they give them names. So, I have my own bot. Did you know that?
No,
so
I didn't.
Radical CPA has a bot. Oh my goodness.
You have to walk the bot every day or?
No, but I have to send you a picture of my bot. So,
I'm sorry. I didn't think that was.
I don't want to interrupt our show.
Can you describe?
I'm going to text Lisa and have her bring me.
All right. We get to meet Lisa. Lisa is a, is she the brains of the business besides you?
Absolutely.
Without Lisa, what would happen?
Wait, Lisa, can you bring me a bot t-shirt?
You have bot t-shirts?
You
want
to come in here. She wants to. Yeah.
Jody, you have bot t-shirts and you didn't send me?
I do. I can send you one.
Okay, extra large on that bot t-shirt. Anyway.
Just an extra large.
Yeah. Rob, we'll see how it is, and then maybe we'll work something out for you.
All right. So, look.
Well. That's very nice. Okay.
Can you see what it says?
It says something. Radical
it's
CPA.
It's complicated.
Radical
CPA. It's complicated.
CPA.
See, they're holding hands, and it's complicated.
Well, obviously, I didn't figure that out. I just read Radical CPA.
Because think about it. Because a CPA has a complicated relationship with the bot. It doesn't know if it should like them or not, right? As a CPA, you're kind of like apprehensive about this technology. So you're like, I'm going to hold its hand. but it's a complicated relationship.
Well, why should the CPA like the bot? Because it's going to replace them, aren't they?
Well, it's going to replace the work we don't like to do. So it's going to replace a lot of the rote, busy work, right? But it's not going to replace any of the thinking that we have to do, the analysis, any of the stuff that we want to use our brains for. So, and it'll allow us to go home early. I mean, that's the big thing that cracks me up too, is like, why don't people want to automate? Because if you automate, then we could work less. Why do we have to work so many hours?
Do you do tax returns with bots?
So we don't yet, but
are you working on it?
One day they will. So absolutely. It's just not today.
And by the way, what's the name of the company so we can all invest in it? Is there a company you want to mention?
Oh, so the company that I'm the bot ambassador for is BotKeeper.
Are they working on a software for tax returns?
Eventually.
Eventually.
Okay. Well, they have to. Think about it. If you're going to be bot software in an accounting firm, how can you not do tax?
I mean, so it's what would the bot do as far as the preparation of the tax returns? And I know today, you know.
So in my perfect world, what it would do is it would do analysis on the data and pop it to the top as a, you know how like you used to get diagnostics when I say diagnostics?
Yes, I remember that. Yeah.
So essentially you would get not a diagnostic, but something similar to that attached to an item within your trial balance saying, hey, this might qualify for such and such tax treatment.
Okay. So it'll give you tax tips to save money?
Yeah, I would think so. Absolutely. And I'll help you find your M1 adjustments without actually like exporting to Excel, subtotaling, right? I mean, think about it. All it would do is go into a data file and pull all the data that applies to a specific world. So if you had like a huge data set of meals and entertainment, right? And you didn't sort it because you didn't know that the law changed, right, this past year. And you just said, hey, bot, find me all the meals. It would sort it all without you going into Excel and telling it to. The bot would know how to do it.
What do you think it'll cut back on tax season as far as CPA firms?
I don't think it'll cut down on firms. I think it'll just cut down on the time, right?
No, so, I mean the time. Because they go through this busy season and they work these people to death, all right? Do you think once the bots come out, the people will work a lot less?
Well, it depends on how money hungry the partners are, but yeah, they should. Technically, they should be able to, because you should be able to have bots do most of the stuff so that then the tax return would almost be automatically prepped. And then you would just be looking at it to see if it made sense or there's some sort of revenue ruling or some sort of new law that should apply to it.
But I would think the firms would say, gee, you know, the employees are working less. They're going home earlier. They're
overpaid. We're going to pay them less. Yeah, I was going to say we're going to pay
that happening? You see that happening?
No, not yet, but I'm not saying it won't happen in the future.
Not yet, but there's no artificial intelligence as far as that goes.
You're saying, oh, no, there is. So, like,
if
you look at the big firms, like PW, KPMG, all of them, they have artificial intelligence groups now. So they're all doing really cool stuff with it.
For the preparation of tax returns?
I believe so.
Now, you're aware, obviously, because you're involved in that, the people are working less hours as a result.
No, they're just working more.
They're working more. Why are they working more?
Because they'll just do more business, right? I mean, the biggest thing is that they can't find qualified talent. So now they have talent to do more work.
Now, where are we getting this talent to do this type of work? I mean, the universities. Tell us what the universities are doing now in order to come up to the, you know, present system. Are the universities basically schools of business? Are they dealing with this already, teaching it?
Yeah, they are.
Are people prepared? They are.
Yeah, so what's happening is the accounting programs are changing significantly, and they're now becoming more like math and IT programs. So they're like data analytics, computer programming, statistics, and like maybe 25% accounting, and everything else is other stuff, like more STEM focused. And then and they're changing their programs, and PwC is like helping to facilitate it, which means that the big firms are wanting a different skill set in who they're in the graduate.
What are they doing? Are they giving money? What are they doing, the big firms?
Yeah, they're giving money to the universities to help define what the new programs look like.
And you're in, obviously, I remember you said you took some courses at Northern Illinois University.
Yeah.
Right? How many graduates do they have coming out of this? Do you know?
Oh, I don't know. They're just starting it. They're just starting to evolve their programs. But Northern is like one of the big CPA programs. So like, they're all going to follow. It's just, you know, how long does it take for them to change it?
Well, if they come out with all this artificial intelligence, all right, are they going to have enough people out there to deal with the technology?
Well, right now they don't have enough to deal with. Well, right now they don't have enough to deal with the accounting or the tech. So, right.
Who's doing the work? I mean, if there's artificial intelligence in these firms, who is dealing in the work?
They're hiring math people. They're hiring what they call a data scientist.
Okay.
Or a quant. Have you ever heard of a quant major? I never knew what that was.
No, what is that?
Quantitative analytics. It's like econ and math, and like I never heard of it before either. But so the CEO of BotKeeper, who's 30 years old, he's a quant major. So it's a lot of math.
So if they're hiring mathematicians, people have, all right, that's basically going to kill all the people taking the CPA exam, right? Accountants.
Right. We're going to have to go to the actuary side.
We'll take the actuary exam?
Yeah, well, no, I'm just saying we'll get the actuary.
That's a very easy exam, that actuary exam, all right? Well, seriously, what's going to happen to all these accounting majors who, you know, the whole thing was to take the CPA exam, all right? Is the CPA exam going to become, extinct?
I think the CPA exam is going to have to evolve significantly, right? And they've already talked about how the CPA exam is going to start having more computer-driven stuff on it, right? More IT and data analytics and stuff. So it's coming. It's just a question of when.
Okay.
And if I were a CPA student or wanting to be a CPA, I would want to make sure that I have at least some data analytics coursework in my...
You'd only want to go for the CPA if the CPA mentioned some type about this analytics. If it still says a certified public accountant, you know, and the AICPA recognizes that as a license to be in public accounting, they got to change their whole way of thinking, don't they?
Well, I think they're going to end up attesting, right? So I think that what CPAs attest on is going to be a different thing, right? So right now, CPAs attest on financial statements, but what if a CPA could attest on Netflix views and royalties?
So they can't be called certified public accountants anymore. Are they going to be certified public accountants, or is it going to be, what do you think? Is that
certified public attester? I don't know.
What's the language on there, Jody? Okay.
But you know what? Like, yeah, I didn't think about it like in that perspective, but it's not going to be what they're going to be attesting on is not going to be numbers per se. It might be something else or some, because that's what a lot of CPAs do. I mean, that's what they're doing with the SOX stuff, isn't it? It's really IT stuff.
But you see, they do have, the AICPA has, I think, do they give the certified fraud examiner exam and the personal financial planning designation?
Yes.
That's the AICPA, separate test, right?
The PFSs or whatever it is, but I don't know what the fraud is. I think the fraud is something else. I think the fraud is separate.
So, yeah, what's happening today is CPAs are still going for the CPA exam, but then they're going one step further. Like, for example, I believe you can become a certified forensic accountant. You can be a certified fraud examiner. Am I correct?
Right. Or a CITP, which is a certified information technology professional.
Or there's a new exam coming out called the CC exam. Are you familiar with that one?
No, what's that?
Complete certification.
Oh.
You're certified for everything.
CGMA, right?
I don't know how that CGMA is doing. It's supposedly, I think it came out by the SCPA to compete with the CMA.
I think so too.
I don't know how it's doing. I remember when I took that test with the CGMA, God, it was difficult. Writing the check was very hard.
Okay. Well, we talked about my CPA exam experience, so
let's talk about that.
I'm not interested in taking any more exams.
It's interesting. People would look at Jody and say, God, she must have passed the exam on the first trial. I said first trial. It's like the first time, all right? And she probably scored 99s, all right?
Totally.
Now, tell us about your experience with the CPA exam. You spoke about it last time.
Yeah, no.
People will be surprised. Go ahead.
Yeah, it took me like 5 times. So I took it right out of school and I really didn't study and I failed miserably. And then the second time I took it, I studied really hard and I think I passed one part. And then the third time I took it, I studied really hard and I passed two parts, but I got a 48. So I blew my condition because in the old days you had to
they didn't know pass that, right.
four parts at one time and you had to get at least 50 on two. And then I think the last time I passed, or the fourth time I passed three parts, and then the final time I passed the last part. So I'm a five-timer.
But look at yourself now, Jody. Tell us about your practice. Exactly. All right. You are obviously a consultant on artificial intelligence. Mm-hmm. All right. You're in the cloud, right?
Yes.
You do cloud consulting. All right. And also, you have a regular CPA firm. Is that correct?
Yeah. So I actually have three businesses under the New Vision umbrella. I have my CPA firm, which serves small businesses, 0 to 10 million. We're 100% in the cloud. And we use bots to do the work, right? And we do tax and accounting and payroll and kind of like basic small business stuff along with advisory work. So clients pay us a fixed monthly fee to be connected to our firm and to have their small business accounting, payroll, tax advisory work all bundled together. We talk to our clients all the time. And then we essentially do their tax returns at the end of the year, their tax planning, et cetera. So that's my first business. We just recently, 2 years ago, started a wealth management practice, and that's in the cloud as well. And what we're doing with that is we're doing financial planning for a lot of our clients who are on the other side of the wall, because, you know, it's like the SEC, so you have to be on one side of the wall or the other side of the wall. Right. But there we're doing fee-only financial-based planning. We're using a software called eMoney, which is pretty cool. And we help our clients talk about their goals and what's important to them as they define financial planning for their lives, because the market's going to do what the market's going to do over a certain period of time. But you can have more impact on a client's life by helping them with behavior and accountability than you can with just trading stocks or, you know, advising on investments. Plus the bots already do that. So like there's no value there, right? Because that's all computerized now. So realistically, we help with the financial coaching piece, and that's my wealth management business. And then I also have a media company, and my media company essentially does blogs and white papers and tweets and LinkedIn posts and consulting and all that kind of stuff as well. So I have three companies, and I only have 2.5 employees for all three companies. Pretty cool.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That's low overhead, isn't it? That's pretty
good. Yeah.
And now, but in your accounting tax practice, how many employees do you have? I mean, what do you have, one?
Really one and a, so I have Alex, who's my partner, and she does all like truly the accounting and tax work. We have the bots. And I have Lisa, who's my admin. So really one professional. And then we have a contractor, Maggie, who does mostly wealth management, but she helps a little bit on the tax side.
How did you start your practice? I mean, did you buy an existing practice or did you start your own?
No. So I joined my dad. It's like 13
years ago. Yes, I remember your dad. Yes, I remember.
Yeah, yeah. So I joined my dad like 13 years ago, but he was director of taxes and insurance for Midas International. So he was a corporate tax guy, and he had a $75,000 practice that was really just 1040s, right? So it was a night business, right? Home offices before home offices were trendy. So fast forward 13 years, and my firm is almost $700,000. And we're, again, like two people, really.
Is that
and I don't work in my firm.
Or is that all your?
No, that's just my firm. That's not my media company, and that's.
Oh, very good, excellent.
So, because I don't work in my firm, right? So my firm is really run by Alex. So.
Well, how do you market the firm? Obviously, you have so many followers, but you know, how would you recommend someone starting a practice today, who would start the firm, who doesn't, they're just starting, all right? They work out of their house, I guess, to keep the costs down. But how would they start like a tax practice or an accounting practice? I mean, what kind of marketing could they do to start that and have a chance of actually succeeding? Because it's very competitive, isn't it?
yes and no. I think you have to define who you are and what you stand for and what's important to you. And if you do that, then you just talk to everybody, and people who get you will want to do business with you. And if they don't get you, then they don't want to do business with you. And you also have to kind of figure out what you want to do and who you want to serve, because it's too hard to be a generalist and to serve everybody. So you need to know exactly who you want to serve. And then when I say talk to everyone online and offline, right? Because social media allows you to do that, right? So Phil, you're my friend on Facebook. How much work stuff do I post versus personal stuff? It's a mix, right?
Yes, it is a mix. And actually, and I'm going to be honest, I don't read a lot of the article. I mean, I got the articles today that you've written.
Right. Recently.
But I'm involved with the CPA review, and it's constantly trying to keep up with that. But I do look at the Facebook every once in a while.
But if you were just a regular friend of mine, like, and I have like over 3,000 friends, of course, on Facebook. But if you were a regular friend of mine and you said, oh, I think I need a CPA, that Jody, she does CPA stuff, I think. I've never read her stuff, but I know she posts it a lot. I'm going to call her. That's what Facebook advertising does.
Do you have...
you top of mind when someone needs something.
Do you think Facebook is better than LinkedIn? What would you say is the best social media if you could...
So I think they're different. So Facebook is good for like small business because it's like hanging out at the baseball game, at your kid's baseball game, right? You're kind of usually in your neighborhood. You're just talking to the people who are around you, and it's more casual and friendly. And typically you already know them when you're connected to them, right? So it's just a matter of being top of mind when they have a service need, right? The other LinkedIn, I think, is more for, I'll say, bigger connections or bigger firms, right? Not even bigger firms, bigger clients. So we had, I think it was like an $80,000 lead come in through LinkedIn. And we didn't win it, but it was us and KPMG, which is pretty cool, right? That we were invited to the dance, right?
Yeah, very good. Yeah, that is excellent.
And it was a controller who was used to like reading my LinkedIn stuff, and she believes what I believed, and she was looking for a new CPA, a new firm. So she reached out. So again, it's being top of mind when someone has a need, because not everyone is going to have a need the day you post, right? But if you post consistently over 6 months, someone is going to be like, oh yeah, doesn't so-and-so do this? Or, and again, it's your network and your friend's network, which is the same as networking in the real world. It's just doing it in an online world.
With these social media, do you think you get better bang for your buck from writing articles or from doing videos or podcasts, right? What do you think helps you the most?
I'm sorry? I think videos. I mean, I like to write, and so writing is fine, but I think you get more bang for your buck for videos because people get to know you, they get to understand you, they get to connect with you, right? So video, I think, will drive more traffic, and if you're getting more traffic, hopefully it's good traffic, and then it'll convert to more leads. Video's easy now too.
Oh yeah, definitely. But aren't you limited to how much time?
You got 10 minutes, but nobody's going
to, okay.
Yeah, but nobody's going to listen to you for more than 3.5. So you better be short because nobody cares. People's attentions are moving.
Isn't that sad? I can tell you have a very long attention span. Is that correct?
Yeah, right.
Right. Hey, Phil, doesn't what she's saying sound familiar?
Not a clue what you're talking about, Rob. What are you talking about?
How we always tell you, you got to grab them right away in the first like 5 seconds get them to even listen.
Yeah, I actually, it's hard to speak in 3.5 minutes because I have so much information to give to the world, you know. And my goal is to have 700,000 followers on LinkedIn. By December. And I'm not giving myself too high a goal. Okay?
I don't think you're going to make it, Phil.
Thanks. I appreciate that, Jody. Hey, when you have friends, you know who you can
talk. Right. Who do you need when you have friends like me?
By the way, I'll say one thing about the podcast. I get the opportunity to meet, seriously, on a serious note, I get the opportunity to speak with you and meet with you. All right? And yeah. God, I wish I could get to Chicago and really, you know, say hello to you. But they had a meeting.
You're obviously not the biggest fanboy that I have.
Well, you don't know how much of a fan I am, Jody. How can you say that? Besides this guy who came all the way from Philadelphia to see your butts, all right? You anything else like that happen to you?
So I was, I was in New York last week or 2 weeks ago, and everybody knows me. I mean, basically, people come up and they want to take a selfie with me. But that's not that unusual, right? Is it?
I would say no one's asked me. No, I haven't. I have to take my own selfie. In fact, I don't even know how to do a selfie. But you actually had people in New York?
Yeah. Where'd they
stop you?
Oh, so I was at the accounting show in New York, right? And they stopped me at the accounting.
But not on the street. You're talking about at the meeting?
Oh, yeah, at the meeting. But I was in the doctor. Did I tell you this the last time? I can't remember. I was in the doctor's office. So I did a video on Dunkin' Donuts shoes. Did I show you?
No, you didn't mention that.
Okay, so I got
that video. It was hilarious.
So there's a thing called unboxing, where it's basically you unbox something and you post it on YouTube and like everybody sees what you're getting. Well, I love Dunkin' Donuts coffee. It's like I run on Dunkin', not a Starbucks fan. Anyways, they had Dunkin' Donuts shoes. Saucony made special Dunkin' Donuts shoes for the Boston Marathon. And so, and they were sold out right away because they were on like Good Morning America or something. And my admin, Lisa, because she's so awesome, went and she hunted them down and she found them and she ordered them for me. So she got me my shoes and then they came like 3 days later or whatever. And so I was so excited. We videoed me opening them up and getting to see them for the first time. So I was pretty stoked about it. So that video got, probably 80,000 or 100,000 views and spread pretty good, right? It went, I'll say viral
for a video from a CPA on LinkedIn. Yeah. That's crazy.
This was on YouTube
it was on LinkedIn, but it was essentially me unboxing my shoes. But this is a thing, Phil. Yeah. People unbox lots of things, right? So it's like, it's a thing. So anyways, so then I was at the doctor's office, like maybe a week later, and someone saw my shoes and she goes, I know you. Wait, I know you. And then she goes, you're my friend on LinkedIn because she saw my shoes.
You know, I guess I tell people, I know everyone that can do absolutely nothing for me. So I'm like, you know, it's amazing. You know, I ordered shoes from Johnson Murphy and I opened the box. It never hit the LinkedIn situation. Maybe I should take pictures from now on when I get a pair of shoes.
How about video, Phil? You know, it's all about video.
Well, it's all about video. You know, I get socks from Bombas. You heard of Bombas? They're great, great socks. But anyway, I have to take a video when I get those socks next time and put it on LinkedIn and see if we can get 10 people watching it. Would that be successful?
Yeah, I think so. For you.
Rob's there. I can see he's rallying. He never says anything for me when I ask him something. No, that is amazing.
So, Rob, what did you think when you saw that video? So let me hear the other side from someone who...
Well, just initially, your immediate excitement in the first 5 seconds just draws it all in.
Right.
Like, I watched it from start to finish probably 3 or 4 times just because the excitement that you brought to it. And I remember on the first podcast, you were talking about how you run on Dunkin. Like, you mentioned that when we were recording. So that in itself stuck. And then here, I think it was like 2 or 3 weeks later, you're unboxing a box of Dunkin' Donuts shoes.
Right.
But yeah, it was hilarious. It didn't tie specifically to your brand and your business, but it drew a buzz that created more awareness.
Awareness of what? Her name?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think awareness of my personality, right? So like, think about it. Like people do business with people. They always have. Do you want to do business with someone who gets excited when they get their gym shoes and they are Dunkin' Donuts gym shoes? Or do you want to get someone or do business with someone who's excited when they get your Johnson and Murphy shoes?
I didn't think it was exciting, but I can't imagine getting excited about getting a pair of sneakers, you know, but I have to try that. We're going to order sneakers. and you're going to take a picture of me getting excited about shoes, okay? And then
we're going to video record it.
It can't be shoes. It has to be something that's you. So what is it that's all about you that you love? Do you fish? Do you golf?
I'm from New York originally. We don't fish, okay? All right?
Okay.
What else was that? Fish or what?
Golf.
I don't play golf.
Build model trains?
No.
So what's your hobby?
I like to watch WWE wrestling. No, I don't really have a, I don't know what my interest, you know what my interest is?
What?
It's unfortunate, but it's always been the CPA review school.
So
that's pretty
cool. I know what you need to do, Phil. You need to
get
have
a girlfriend. A girlfriend? No. Okay, go ahead.
No, you need to have a contest. All right, here's the new contest. And have your students do unboxing videos of when they get their CPA exam books. And have them submit it. That would be hysterical.
That could work, Phil.
That is
Instagram buzz all over the place.
You know what? It's time to get rid of the other people who work for us in marketing and get Jody. Jody, you want a fourth division of your company?
Well, Phil, hold on. We've already talked about doing stuff like that.
Opening
it's just
box.
A matter of implementing it. Doing company flash. Like, we hold a competition on the podcast. They listen to a certain point. We release a keyword. And the first whatever people on Instagram to message us with that keyword could be entered into a drawing, and then we send them something, and they could do an unboxing.
But here we would be crowdsourcing all these kids who are studying for the CPA exam, right? And then at the end, after you pick the funniest one, they could get their CPA review free or something like that. So you'd get all these people submitting because they're excited.
Jody, I'm writing these things down. You have any other ideas why...
Well, Phil, our whole marketing team listens to the podcast.
Okay. All right. Jody, what's your phone number? I want them to call you for these tremendous ideas.
Essentially you're crowdsourcing. So what I did is I crowdsourced your users, right? And I'm getting them engaged in part of your CPA community, which you already do a pretty good job of. But again, having them create content makes it that much stickier.
Right. So,
and it also creates additional exposure to all of their followers.
Right.
Which
who are
could
all
generate
probably
additional
sitting
people.
In accounting classes. Right.
Yeah. I mean, I'm doing I do this podcast and I try not to be there's so many accounting podcasts, but, and I'm not saying any specific one. I'm not mentioning a specific one, but I try to think, hey, I have a sense of humor. All right. And I think that's why people like to watch these things. They see you laugh. They see me laugh. Well, they don't see it. They hear us laugh. So there's, they say these people must be normal. And I think that's what's been the attraction. And that's what I try to do with the CPA review. But you can't be funny too much, because then these people will think, hey, he's not, serious about the CPA exam. So, I'm really walking a tightrope in many, many situations. All right.
Yeah.
And, that's what I'm trying to do this podcast to give people a variety, because how much can you say about CPA review after a while?
Nobody really cares.
No. I mean, I think it would be more interesting to show people opening boxes.
That's what I read.
Yeah. I think that would be the kicker, In fact, let's call Mike Decker after this and ask him to have a selfie opening a box of shoes. What do you think? Okay.
How about the Jaeger books?
The Jaeger books. Right?
Yeah, that's what it should be. It should be.
Let's send him the Jaeger books.
Yeah, he's going to really do that. But the thing
you
is,
want me to open the Jaeger books?
Yeah, that would be great.
All right? I'm not taking that exam again. Sorry.
It won't. All right, show us how would you look?
You can express how excited you are to retake the exam
all over again. Example here. Obviously, this is not a webcast, but I can see you. Show us, vocally, and how you would appear when you open up a box of Jaeger CPA review books. Go ahead. This is an audio presentation, Jody, showing them going, Jody has her forearms up, and she does
box. I thought you were
Jody, if you don't.
I forgot I had to get so excited. So.
Yeah, she gets that was very exciting.
It was very excited. It just had no sound.
What was the sincerity on that excitement? I just wanted to know. All right. But anyway, I want to go back in the few minutes we have. All right. I want to talk about the article, how someone would bill a, you know, first they have a CPA firm. All right. And how they can bill $1 million. This was an article you wrote.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So talk about this. How can you bill $1 million? All right. Per full-time employee. All right. For a CPA firm using technology. Can you give us and within like 4 minutes, could you talk about that?
Yeah, so it's essentially my firm, right? So my firm is not quite $1 million. So I'll say I stretched it a little bit, but I know we have capacity. And so we could take on, I just have to sell more business, right? I just have to get a couple more clients. But essentially what we do is we've automated everything. So our team only really does thinking work. They're not doing any data entry. They're not doing any rote kinds of work that traditional firms do, right? Because the bots do it. And then we went to outsource tax so that we had a little bit of a supplement for tax season. And then the other thing we do is we are very specific about who we take. So right now we only take business owners and their related 1040s. We won't do a 1040 unless you are coming in under our wealth management umbrella. So essentially we've weeded out our D customers, and D meaning just because they were small, right? Not necessarily, some of them were like really D clients, but some of them were just small. And so now our minimum fee essentially to walk into our firm is $6,000. So when you think about that, that raises the game from a brand and a pricing perspective. And what cracks me up about it is everyone knows that pricing is going to affect your bottom line more than cutting costs. Yet how do CPAs run their businesses?
But let's be realistic here. You have the experience and the background to do this type of work, all right? You mm-hmm. can't, that, in other words, if someone to do this, they either have to hire people, which if they're going into a business initially, they can't necessarily afford that, but they have to get the training before they even attempt that. Isn't that correct?
I mean, I don't think, so what's interesting to me now too is I don't think the traditional old school firms are going to give today's next generation of CPAs what they actually need to run a firm in the future.
Okay, so who is it going to be? It's not the old school. Who's it going to be?
YouTube.
YouTube? What do you mean?
Well, I mean, seriously, like people do training videos on YouTube now. It's really interesting to me because I think when I went to school and then I graduated, I felt that I had to go to an old school firm to learn. I think today's next generation is much more entrepreneurial and is more likely to start a firm when they're 22, 24, 26 years old.
Okay. So where are they getting the experience from for doing this?
They're making it up. They're using the internet. I mean, they're really,
they're learning themselves.
They're learning themselves, which is what they do anyways. That's what millennials do, right?
Well, that's, you know what? I mean, we didn't have artificial intelligence, but when I started, but I have to tell you, my educational background didn't help me much. I actually had to teach myself all the tax laws and that's the best way to do it.
And you know, most of the stuff is on the job training. It's not like, especially, well, exactly. Maybe if you go to a big firm, it's different. But if you go to a regular size firm, you're not getting trained. You're learning because you're watching how someone did it last year and you're following it.
Right. And that's the way you get the experience.
Right.
And hopefully the firms will start having artificial intelligence so you can get that on the job training.
Well, so what's going to happen with the artificial intelligence is all those staff positions are going to kind of go away, and the staff aren't going to have to know accounting, but they're going to have to know business advisory skills and how to talk to clients. And to me, it's harder to train, but it's easier to train, right? So it's easier to train because it's more, I'll say, intuitive and more soft, but you have to have the right person. So
would it to talk to people with what's going on, these people don't want to talk to people. They want to listen to, they want to text them. Yeah. So what do we do in that case? I mean,
well, so then we're going to get chat bots to reply on our websites. I got a solution for everything, Phil.
You do, Jody. That's amazing. This woman, I'm telling you.
And chat bots exist.
They already exist.
Yeah. Well, Jody, the first time I met you, I said, you are one of my favorite people.
Well,
right?
Thank you. Yes.
And we've used up our time. And by the way, can we do this again? I think we have more stuff we can talk about.
Oh, absolutely.
And we might even do one from Singapore.
Yeah, let's do it from Singapore. in October, for sure.
And Jody will actually give some cooking lessons on how to cook Asian food, okay?
You're gonna I don't have to eat it.
Can you do a stir fry on the video?
Yeah, I'm not eating it.
Okay. Anyway, Jody, I really do like you. You're a nice person, and I enjoy talking to you. And, you know, the fact that I can walk away and say, I laughed, I had a good time, that's very important. It's like relaxes me. So I appreciate that. Thank you for being
awesome.
All right. And
thank you,
Rob, for once again introducing the show and being part of it too, because you've met Jody before. So, Rob, I will let you take this away. Take care. Jody, have a wonderful remaining summer. Okay?
Awesome.
Take care. Rob?
Once again, I'd like to thank you for being the best part of CPA Review and More with your host, Phil Yeager. If you have any questions or topics you'd like to hear on the show, or if you'd like to be a guest on the show to share your story, we want to hear from you. Send me an email to the studio at podcast@YeagerCPAReview.com. If you're enjoying the content that we're providing, we'd greatly appreciate it if you'd submit a review to the Apple iTunes podcast app to let us know how we're doing. If you're in the market for a CPA review course or simply want to find out more about the CPA exam and what Yeager has to offer, check out YeagerCPAReview.com or call our office and we'll answer any questions you may have. The link and the phone number will be in the description of this podcast. Here at Team Yeager, we're excited to tell you about our new Yeager CPA Review subscription format. It's the same great Yeager CPA Review course that you know and love on an all-new month-to-month, no-commitment subscription format. Check it out today. Once again, my name's Rob Medford. I'm your executive producer and director here at the Yeager Studios. And until next time, take care and be audit you can be.